tuned to Yesterday with an hour of collection curios from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levoner. The old-time radio collection at WRVO Public Media, known as the Ellen Robinson Memorial Library, contains tens of thousands of broadcasts on reel-to-reel tape. There's a vast archive of the big-name shows from radio's golden age, but among the shelves are series with very few surviving episodes, one-off programs, underheard tapes, and long-considered-to-be-rare broadcasts. In this hour, we get the reel spinning with programs not yet heard on our show, or at the very least, on the air in a very long time. Later this hour, an excerpt of comedian Henry Morgan's short-lived Take a Note show and an episode of Front Page Drama. But right now, a series that was only heard for a couple of months on CBS Radio, serving as half of the summer replacement for the hour-long Lux Radio Theater, which adapted movies on the air, often with their original cast. In the summer, networks realized that there was a little less radio listening, giving them a chance to experiment with new shows or stay with tried-and-true formats to keep people in the habit of listening at the same time of day. And in the case of the show Granby's Green Acres, CBS brought a pair of actors, Gail Gordon and Bea Benaderet, who played a married couple on the Lucille Ball-led sitcom My Favorite Husband, to perform their chemistry and bring their familiar voices to fill the time on the bridge between Lux seasons. Here, now, one of the few broadcasts that have survived or were even produced from July 24, 1950, on CBS.
Granby's Green Acres. Unofficial statistics show that 3 out of 4 people who were born and raised in the city have one dream in life, and that is...
Someday I'm going to leave the city and buy a farm.
Most city people never realize that dream, but unfortunately for farm economy, John Granby did. To him, farming looked easy. As he explained to his wife...
Martha, modern farming is a cinch. I read somewhere that farmers use all the latest devices to help them.
Oh, really, John?
Oh, yes, yes. Now, you take chickens. Farmers are putting radios in the hen houses, and they found that when the hens hear a crooner, it increases egg production.
Oh, that's wonderful. John, just think, those eggs we had for breakfast.
What about them?
Bing Crosby might have helped lay them.
Yes, it's Granby's Green Acres, starring Gail Gordon, Bea Benaderet, Louise Erickson, Parley Bear, and Horace Murphy. And now, Mr. Granby bites the love bug. It's a hot July day in Doveville. The noonday sun beats down on the fertile fields of Granby's Green Acres. The birds are still, the field mice have burrowed deeper into the ground, and in the pasture the cow lies contentedly in the shade of an oak tree. No one with any sense would venture out into the blazing sun, except...
Mr. Granby.
What is it, Eb?
Almost lunchtime. Let's stop hoeing this corn and quit.
Why did I have to hire somebody who's always thinking of his stomach? Eb, you just had breakfast at 5 o'clock?
Well, all I had was orange juice, oatmeal, wheat cake, syrup, eggs, potatoes, ham steak, biscuits, jelly, pot of coffee, and 2 quarts of milk.
You ate all that and now you're hungry?
No, I'm sick.
There's nothing wrong with you, Eb. Now let's finish hoeing one more row of corn and then we'll quit.
Well, it's awful hot.
Well, come on, let's get it over with.
You want to change places, Mr. Granby?
Change places?
Yeah. You hoe for a while and I'll grunt.
If you don't want to weed, just say so.
Here's a hoe.
Wait till I ask you. I don't mind hoeing the corn or the wheat or the soybeans. Sure, it's hard work, but when nighttime comes, I can relax. Sitting in my favorite easy chair with my dog at my feet, smoking my pipe.
See, that don't sound very sanitary, letting your dog smoke your pipe.
Forget it. You know, I've learned a lot since I bought this farm. Why, 4 months ago, I couldn't tell the difference between a stalk of corn and a weed. Eb, I can't reach that one over there. Would you pull it out for me?
This one?
Yeah. Say, this is some big weed. What's the name of it?
Corn.
Ha! Well, why didn't you tell me?
You didn't ask me.
Oh!
Now, don't get fussed, Mr. Granby. It's a natural mistake. That's the only stalk of corn in the field. It's bigger than the weeds.
Ed, if you're insinuating that this crop isn't doing very well, remember that this corn's only been growing for 2 months.
Weeds only been growing a week.
Ed, I'm perfectly satisfied with the way this corn is doing. But I... Oh.
Hi, Ed.
Hi.
Who's that?
Hank Stafford, the county agent. He's the government farm advisor for this section. Why don't you ask him about the corn?
I don't have to ask anybody.
Mr. Granby?
Yes?
My name's Stafford, Henry Stafford.
Hello, Mr. Stafford.
I've been meaning to drop around, get acquainted. I've driven by here several times the last couple of months, and I've been noticing your cornfield.
You have, Mr. Stafford?
I couldn't help but notice it. After seeing the corn on the other farms around here, yours really stands out.
Well, have a cigar.
Thanks. Yes, sir. The first time I saw it, I was amazed.
Well, have a light.
I've never seen such underdeveloped corn.
Don't bother to puff.
Well, I better get on with the hoeing.
Mr. Granby, I don't want you to feel that I'm butting in. You see, I'm hired by the government to help you with your agricultural problems. After all, coming from the city, you haven't had too much experience in farming.
And I suppose you have.
Enough to recognize a poor crop when I see it.
You consider this a poor crop?
Well...
And why, may I ask?
Do you mind if I look at a few of the ears?
No, go right ahead and look if it'll make you happy.
Okay. Look at this one. And look at this one. And this one. And this one.
Please! Just look at the corn. Don't harvest it.
Yes, I'm sorry, but Mr. Granby... Do you know why this corn isn't growing?
Yes. You're not giving it a chance to.
No. Do you know where you made your first mistake?
Yes. When I said, hello, Mr. Stafford.
No, Mr. Granby, it looks like your mistake was in not testing the soil. Why don't you let me make some tests now?
No, thank you.
But I've got a soil testing kit in the car. I'll be glad to get it.
That won't be necessary.
It'll only take a moment.
Don't bother.
It's no bother. I'm only too glad to do it.
Young man, were you in the army?
Yes.
Second Lieutenant?
How did you know?
You're such an eager beaver. Stafford, I appreciate your interest, but this soil
This soil could use some sulfate of ammonia. It'll make your corn a lot stronger and shorten its growing time 10 or 15 days.
I'm in no hurry. I'm not going anywhere.
But sulfate of ammonia...
I don't need any mulfate of simonia.
Sulfate of ammonia.
That's what I said.
But it sounded like...
Don't tell me what it sounded like. That's what I said.
Yes, sir. I didn't mean any offense, sir. Sorry, sir. It was a mistake, sir. It won't happen again, sir.
Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
At ease! Chow ready, Martha? Lunch ready?
Yes, everything's on the table, John. Ev, you sit over there.
Thanks, Miss Granby.
Dad, I was down in the field this morning looking at the corn.
Oh, you were?
Mm-hmm. It's awfully small.
Small?
Yes. You could take an ear of that corn and push it through a lifesaver without getting any mint on it.
Janice?
John, start on your soup. It's getting cold.
All right. Mm, that's good soup, Martha. Mm.
Pass the salt.
Here, Ev. It's your favorite kind, John, mushroom.
Mm. Just hits the spot.
Pass the bread.
Here, Ed. John, who's the young man you were talking to down in the field?
Henry Stafford, the county agent.
Well, you should have invited him for lunch.
Pass a napkin.
Martha, do me a favor and let me eat my lunch in peace.
But, John, all I said...
Never mind. I've had a very strenuous day. I've been weeding corn since early this morning.
Pass the bologna.
Here, Ed.
And as if it wasn't hard enough working in that broiling sun, that pest of a county agent had to come around and start criticizing the way the corn is growing.
Well, maybe he could have helped.
I don't need any help from him. I know more about farming than he'll ever know.
Ed, more bologna?
Yep.
Now, look here, Janice.
John, you're in such an awful mood. It's not at all like your natural disposition.
Oh, and what is my natural disposition?
Pass the vinegar.
Janice, can't we please finish our lunch quietly?
John, is he married?
Is who married?
That young county agent.
I didn't ask him.
Why not?
Because I'm already married. Father, why should I ask him a thing like that?
Well, he seemed like such a nice young man, and Janice hasn't met anybody since we moved here, and
Mother, are you starting that again?
Well, but Janice,
Mother,
I was...
will you please stop worrying about me?
I'm not worried, Janice. But in the city, you had so many friends, and out here, well, there just doesn't seem to be any eligible young men.
Mother, how can you say that? What about Eb?
Pass the vitamins.
Martha, I wish you'd leave Janice alone. The way you talk, you'd think she was another gravel Gertie.
Now, look, the next time the young man drops around to see you, what harm would there be in bringing him up to the house?
Martha, I doubt very much whether I will see him again.
You weren't rude to him, were you?
I'm never rude. I talked to him the way I talk to my own family.
John, you didn't.
Well, I guess he won't be back anymore.
John Granby, if my father had shown as little interest in his daughter's future as you show in yours, why, you and I might never have met.
Yeah, a meddlesome old...
John! You sound as if you regret marrying me.
Oh, I do. I mean, I do. Martha, I don't regret it at all.
Then say you're sorry.
Oh, Martha.
Say it.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry about marrying you. I mean, I regret I'm sorry I married you. It kind of slipped out.
John.
No, Martha, don't be angry. Give me a kiss and show me you're not.
In front of Eb?
Why not? He's old enough to be your father. That meddlesome old...
John!
Have a smoke. Are you coming, Eb?
In a minute.
Janice, sometimes I can't understand your father. Well,
sit still, Mom. I'm clear off the table. Let me get my apron.
Miss Granby, I wouldn't worry about a pretty young girl like Miss Janice.
Oh, I'm not really worried about her, Eb. It's just that I'm sorry she didn't have a chance to meet that young man.
Oh, he'll be back. Mr. Granby will have to send for him one of these days.
No, not unless something happens to change his mind. And getting John to change his mind is like pulling teeth.
Miss Granby?
Hmm?
Shake hands with Painless Parker.
Eb, come here, quick.
What's wrong, Mr. Granby?
Look at this row of corn. Something's been chewing big holes in the leaves. Some kind of insect. Must have happened last night.
Looks serious. Yeah. Maybe it was a potato bug.
A potato bug? Why would a potato bug go after corn?
For the corn silk. It makes good dental floss.
Eb, this is serious. Whatever it is could ruin the whole crop. What can I do? How can I get rid of them?
I don't know. You better get the county agent.
That agricultural Einstein? I wouldn't ask him for help if he were the last...
Up to you, Mr. Granby. I worked on a farm once when a thing like this got started.
Oh, where was it?
Did you ever hear of the Dust Bowl?
Dust Bowl? Oh, my goodness. Eb, do you think Stafford could do something about this?
He's the only one who can.
Then I guess I have no choice. I'll send for him. I'll tell him
now,
that I
have...
Now,
hold on a second, Mr. Granby. If you want his help, you should go see him. And if I was you, I wouldn't be so belligerent.
What do you mean?
Well, you know the old saying, you can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar.
Don't tell me. Tell Joe Stalin.
We'll return to Granby's Green Acres after this brief reminder. There are a lot of laughs around these Monday nights when Joan Davis comes to CBS to play her role of a madcap, dizzy department store clerk. Yes, Joan Davis is back on CBS with her comedy show, Leave It to Joan. So go shopping with her later tonight on most of these same CBS stations, won't you? Now part two of Granby's Green Acres.
County Agent's Office, Henry Stafford, Washington. Put him on. Hello, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Quick, Stafford, get your hat and coat. We've got to go. This is an emergency.
Just a moment, Mr. Cranby. Sorry, sir. Now, what were you saying, sir? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Stafford, will you hang up?
Stop bothering me, you fool. Oh, not you, sir. No, no, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir.
Give me that phone.
Mr. Granby, I was talking to my boss in Washington, and you cut us off. If I know him, he'll blow his top. He'll see red.
Well, what about it? In Washington, everybody's seeing red these days.
Now, look, we're wasting time.
Mr. Granby, what is the matter?
I've got Japanese horn-tailed beetle.
What?
Look at this leaf from my corn. Look at the way it's been chewed.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that it was a Japanese horn-tailed beetle.
Oh, now, don't tell me. I looked it up in the encyclopedia.
Now, look, Mr. Granby, you couldn't possibly have Japanese horn-tailed beetles in your corn. If anything, it might be a European corn borer.
Are you trying to make a global war out of this?
No, but this is ridiculous.
Well, you yourself said that something was retarding the growth of my corn. Well, this is what's doing it. Beetle!
It's just a lack of sulfate of ammonia. Believe me, it has nothing to do with beetles. Now, if you want my advice...
I didn't come to you for advice. I just want you to tell me what to do.
If I didn't like this job, I might be tempted to.
What?
I mean, what do you want me to tell you to do?
I want you to tell me how to get rid of the beetles. What kind of insecticide should I use on the corn?
Look, you have no... Wait a second. I know what might help you. Use some NH42SO4.
NH42SO4? Will that do the trick?
That'll do it.
Well, where can I get some?
I'm pretty sure Mr. Kimball has some in his feed store. Use about 100 pounds to an acre. Scatter it around the roots.
I'll get some right away.
Yes, you do that. And if I have time, I'll run out and take a look at the corn.
It might be well worth your while. Maybe you'll learn something from me. You know, Mr. Stafford, you may think my head is filled with sawdust, but I'm going to prove to you that there's nothing in it. Miss Kimball. Miss Kimball?
Yep, there's the name, all right. Kimball. Good old American name. Got it from my father.
Yeah. Look, I want to buy
some... Yes, sir, my father was quite a man. His name was Kimball, too.
I gathered as much. Now, I want to buy...
You know, he was one of the first settlers here in Doveville. He was born in that little red brick house t'other end of town there. Of course, that house ain't there anymore. They tore it down a couple of years ago to make room for a vacant lot.
Please, Mr. Kimball, I'd like some NH42SO4.
What for?
I've got Japanese horn-tail beetles.
You have?
Yes.
Would you mind standing at the other end of the counter?
I don't have them personally. They're all over my corn crop. That's why I want to get some.
Hey, now, that there is too bad. You know, we had a spell of beetles around here in 1908. Took a long time to get rid of them.
Oh, how did you do it?
Sprayed them with that there DDT.
In 1908? DDT wasn't invented until 1942.
That's when we got rid of them.
You know, maybe I ought to use DDT.
Oh, DDT ain't good for beetles.
It isn't?
No, it kills them.
That's what I wanted to do. Oh. But on second thought, maybe I'd better get that stuff Stafford recommended. NH42SO4. I'll need about 35 sacks of it.
What for?
To kill the Japanese beetles.
Oh, see, we had quite a spell of them in 19...
You told me about that.
Oh. Did I tell you about the DDT?
Yes.
Well, how about the vacant lot?
You told me about that, too. Oh.
Well, what else is new?
Please, Mr. Kimball, is there any way you can deliver those sacks to my farm today?
Well, there's a trucking line that comes through here every afternoon. Yeah. They got a polite, courteous, reliable driver. Maybe he'll deliver it for you.
Oh, do you think he will?
Oh, sure. He'll do anything for me. I know him real well. I eat dinner with him once in a while. Tells me all his troubles, and I give him my advice. I've been like a father to him.
Oh, that's nice. Who is he?
My son.
Thank you.
Oh, Mother, Mother!
What's the matter, John?
I've got soap in my eyes. Can't see.
Well, tear a paper towel off the roller.
Oh, okay, okay.
John!
What's the matter?
You tore a piece off the window shade.
I couldn't see with the soap in my eyes.
Well, you shouldn't be washing in the kitchen.
Well, I wanted to get this insecticide off.
Well, hurry. The lamb chops are on the table.
Oh. Oh, are we having lamb chops for dinner?
Uh-huh. Janice picked up 6 in town today. Now come into the dining room as soon as you're finished.
Oh, boy. Lamb chops. Mm. Yep, come in.
Hello, Mr. Granby.
Oh, it's you.
I saw you through the kitchen window.
What are you laughing at?
Do you always dry your face with a window shade?
Young man, if I were you, I'd watch myself. I might be on your draft board.
But I was just...
Now, look here, Fitch.
Fitch? The name is Stafford.
I know, but you're beginning to get in my hair.
Well, I just dropped out to see how you were getting along.
Just fine, thank you. What was that? Thunder?
Yes. Looks like we're in for a little rain.
Rain? Oh, my goodness. That'll wash away all the NH42SO4.
Don't worry about that, Mr. Granby. It'll be...
John, mm-hmm. We're waiting for you to... Oh, how do you do?
Hello.
Well, John, aren't you going to...
Oh. Mrs. Granby, Mr. Stafford, Mrs. Granby. Well, don't let us keep you, my boy.
Mr. Stafford, we were just about to have dinner. We'd be delighted to have you join us.
Martha! We only have 6 lamb chops.
That's all right, Mr. Granby. I never eat more than 3.
We'll have enough. My daughter never eats more than 2, and I never eat more than 1, and Mr. Granby never eats lamb chops.
What?
Come on into the dining room, Mr. Stafford.
What does she mean, I never eat lamb chops? I've eaten them all my life. Sometimes I've eaten lamb chops twice a day.
John! John, can you... Oh, hello. Janice, this is Mr. Stafford. Mr. Stafford, this is my daughter.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Lieutenant, eyes right.
Janice, Mr. Stafford's going to stay for dinner.
But, Mom, we only have 6 lamb...
That's all right, Janice. Your father's having eggs for dinner. Aren't you, dear?
What?
Oh, certainly, yes, I'm having eggs.
Eggs. I just love eggs.
What kind of a meal is that for a man who's been working hard all day? After all,
John, will you stop that muttering?
Mrs. Granby, I really feel that I'm imposing. I just dropped in
to
say hello.
No, it's absolutely no imposition having you here for dinner. That is, unless your wife is expecting you.
Yes, you don't want to keep your wife waiting, Hank.
Oh, I'm not married.
Well, there goes my last chance at those lamb chops.
Mother, let's sit down. Mr. Stafford must be famished.
Yeah, he must be famished. I'm not hungry. I've just been treating the corn since 6 o'clock this morning. I have no appetite at all.
Janice, will you start passing things?
All right, Mom.
Mr. Stafford, have you lived around here in Doveville very long?
No, just since I was assigned to this area.
Oh, that's nice. Where do you come from?
Well,
I have a baked potato, Mr. Stafford.
Well, the name's Hank. Hey, these look wonderful. I love baked potatoes.
Oh, then take 2. There's plenty. Mr. Granby never eats them. Do you, John?
Oh, no. All of a sudden, I'm on a diet. I never eat potatoes. I hate potatoes. I hate them worse than lamb chops.
I guess your work keeps you busy, Mr. Stafford.
Not too busy. I manage to sneak off now and then and go fishing.
Fishing? Oh, you must take Janice sometime. She adores fishing.
Adores fishing? She can't even open a can of sardines. I wish she could. I could use them right now.
Well, Janice, anytime you'd like to go, let me know. I'll be glad to take you.
I'm afraid Mother's a little confused.
A little confused?
I've never done very much fishing. Oh, but Janice, you've always
Mother?
Said...
Mother?
Hank, won't you have some asparagus?
Thanks, I will.
That figured.
I love asparagus.
That figured, too.
Well, then take two helpings. There's plenty. John never touches it.
How can I? I never get near it.
Hank, how about some sliced tomatoes?
Thanks, I love tomatoes.
Take all you want, there's plenty. John never touches them.
Lettuce too, Hank?
If you have enough.
Oh, certainly. What about some radishes?
No, thanks, I don't like radishes. Bingo!
Oh, darn that rain. I haven't been able to get out of this house to look at the corn for 3 days.
Well, the rain isn't going to hurt it.
I know, but I want to see if that NH4 to SO4 did any good. I don't know if I got rid of the beetles or not.
John, relax.
Oh, Martha, why do we have to sit here in the kitchen?
Because Janice is entertaining Henry in the living room.
Listen to that hyena. He's been here every night, sitting in the parlor with Janice.
John, I'm surprised at you. When we first started going together, we used to sit in the parlor. Remember?
Martha, maybe we'd better go in and keep an eye on them.
Don't forget when we lived in the city, Janice entertained boys.
Well, things are different now. She's a farmer's daughter. Well, Martha, is there anything in the icebox? I'm hungry.
Hungry? But we just got up from the dinner table.
Stafford was here for dinner, remember?
John.
Hmm?
I think the rain stopped.
Oh, so it has. I'm going down to take a look at the corn.
Dad, where are you going?
I'm down to the cornfield.
I'll go with you, Mr. Granby. Wait till I put on my coat. There. That's funny. I can hardly button this coat. You know, since I've been eating dinners here, I must have gained about 5 pounds.
8.
How do you know?
Because that's exactly what I've lost. It worked! It worked! Just look at that corn. There isn't a mark on any one of the leaves. I got rid of those beetles.
Yes, the corn looks pretty good, Mr. Granby.
Yeah.
Oh, John, it seems to me that this corn has grown 4 or 5 inches in the last few days.
Say, it has, it has. Well, Stafford, I guess I was right. Those beetles were retarding the growth. You and your sulfate of ammonia. It's a lucky thing I didn't let you talk me out of treating them. That NH4-2SO4 is wonderful.
NH4-2SO4? Oh. I know that formula. We had it in high school chemistry.
Oh, you did? What is it?
Sulfate of ammonia.
Sulfate of ammonia? Stafford, you tricked me.
Mr. Granby, I knew that's all your corn needed, and that's the only way I could get you to use it.
You mean I didn't have beetles?
Of course not.
But I was so... Wait a minute. If I didn't have beetles, then what was it that was chewing on those leaves?
Oh, excuse me, folks.
Eb, what are you doing out here in the cornfield?
I lost something.
What?
My teeth.
Eb, you mean you've been chewing on these leaves?
Hank, this is something you can write to Washington about.
What?
A beetle with lower plate wobble.
We'll be back with the Granbys of Granby's Green Acres in a moment. But first, CBS wishes to remind you that one of radio's most hilarious and fascinating shows is now to be heard on most of these same stations every Tuesday night. It's Candid Microphone, the show that catches people off guard by listening in on concealed microphones. Candid Microphone is completely unrehearsed, quite uninhibited. Be listening for the latest Candid Microphone adventures this Tuesday on CBS. Now, back to Granby's Green Acres.
Dad, this corn is delicious.
Oh, it certainly is, John.
Best corn I've ever tasted. Isn't it good, Eb?
Mr. Granby, I just can't eat it.
Why not?
I still haven't found my teeth.
Well, gum your way through it. You Japanese horn-tailed beetle!
Thank you. have just heard Granby's Green Acres, starring Gail Gordon with Bea Benaderet, Louise Erickson, Parley Bear, Horace Murphy, and Rye Bilsberry. Tune in next week when Mr. Granby lays an egg. Granby's Green Acres was written by Jay Summers, Jack Harvey, and Dave Swift, and was directed by Jay Summers. Music was composed and conducted by Opie Cates. Johnny Jacobs speaking. Now stay tuned for Leave It to Joan, which follows immediately on most of the same CBS stations. This is CBS, where you hear Arthur Godfrey every day, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Granby's Green Acres from the 24th of July, 1950 on CBS. The couple on the series was first paired on the My Favorite Husband sitcom on the same network, where they played a banker and a wife, and in this series, as you heard, left banking altogether for the farm, as well as a curious name change. The series lasted 8 shows in the summer of 1950. You're listening to an hour of collection curios on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark Levonier, bringing you underheard and unique programs from radio's past. Now a break with one of the more irreverent comedians on the air, Henry Morgan, in his first major series that was originally called Ernie Fiorito's Studies in Contrast, which featured Fiorito's orchestra Monday nights at 8, and when Morgan joined was rebranded Take a Note. This excerpt is from the first night of the show name and show time change to 8:30 on April 17th, 1939.
This is Henry again. I suppose I ought to be apologetic about being so bewildered just before Miss Houston sang, but the guys who wrote this show thought it'd be a good gag. The truth of the matter is I get confused and tongue-tied very often because, well, especially here in this teeming metropolis. I guess one good reason for it is I'm a farm boy, you see. I grew up on my grandfather's farm way out where the tall corn grows, and I guess I just never got over it, the corn either. Well, I'll never forget my grandfather, a typical hard-working farmer, good old Gramps. Down on the farm, old Grandpa'd get up every morning at 5 o'clock, hitch my grandmother to the plow, and be back in bed by 5:30. But you know, with all his shortcomings, Grandpa was still a typical hard-working American farmer. I liked him an awful lot. And his favorite tune was Hold Tight. So in honor of my grandfather, Ernie Fiorito has his own special arrangement of Yankee Doodle. It's a grand old song, grand old Fiorito. I love it all.
Thank you.
moment from Take a Note, heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System on the 17th of April, 1939. Digging into our old-time radio collection, I found a tape that was part of a series that produced hundreds of syndicated broadcasts in tandem with many of the stories being printed following the episode. It's Front Page Drama, which was sponsored by the Hearst Newspaper Syndicate, or Empire, that published a Sunday magazine supplement called The American Weekly, and in an effort to beef up sales, presented this radio offering to stations from 1933 through 1954, with the bulk of the shows written by Paul Keyes, who in the industry became well known for his writing for The Tonight Show with Jack Parr, but also has the famous credit of being at the right place at the right time at that program and when writing for TV's Laugh-In, when Richard Nixon, who Keyes had become friendly with, was considering running for president and was encouraged by Paul, who also wrote the jokes for his Laugh-In appearance, which went extremely well, and forever after Nixon would reference that appearance as being the reason he got elected. Now, the Paul Keyes story, Reward, on Front Page Drama from August 29, 1936.
Well, are we glad to see you, Mr. Dugan?
Yeah? So what?
So we're going to keep you with us for a nice long visit.
Says you.
Yes, yeah, speaking for the law, I do. The law says you're to stay with us for the rest of your natural life. Wouldn't you call that a nice long visit?
Listen to me, Warden. What the law says and what Killer Dugan says are two different stories.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's a century bill of mine in your safe that says what I say is right.
And what do you say?
I ain't staying here long.
If you mean the cell, you're absolutely right. We're only putting you in here until we've got room for you in the other wing of the prison. Get in there.
Look out who you shove around, Warden. I've bumped off guys for less than that.
Those days are gone forever, Dugan. You fit the old song. Big Bad Bill is Sweet William now.
Yeah? You'll see. You'll find out.
Our radio play for this week, Reward, is based on a story about the resource and courage of plucky high school boys. This story will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, that most interesting and entertaining magazine, which has by far the largest circulation in the world. The American Weekly is distributed with every Hearst Sunday newspaper from coast to coast. Laura Wilkins sits in her porch swing, idly rocking back and forth, as Jimmy Trenchley comes up the graveled path.
Hello, Jimmy.
What you doing?
Swinging?
I mean tonight.
Oh, why, I'm expecting George along any minute.
Oh, you got a date.
Yes, we're going to the movie.
Well, do you mind if I sit with you a few minutes?
Of course not. Come on up on the porch, Jimmy.
Oh, thanks.
It's a lovely night, isn't it?
Yeah. Laura.
Yeah?
I was wondering if you'd go to the club dance with me.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry, Jimmy, but... You see, George asked me ages ago for that date.
Yeah. He's a pretty popular fellow with you, isn't he?
I like him, if that's what you're hinting at.
Well, you used to like me, Laura. Why, last year we went every place together, remember?
Yes, I remember, and I still like you, Jimmy. Just as much.
Yeah, but you haven't any time to waste on me. Tell me something, Laura.
What?
What's George Daniels got that I haven't?
Jealous?
No, not exactly, only... I can't figure out why you should let him take up all your time.
Well, he's famous. Maybe that's why.
Famous?
Why, yes. Isn't he captain of the baseball team?
Well, I'm an athlete too, ain't I?
You? Well, you're only a substitute on the basketball team.
Well, but let me...
Oh, there's George now. You! I'm coming, George!
Okay.
I gotta go now. Jimmy, I'm awfully sorry. Say, why don't you get famous? And have your picture and name in the paper like Jed.
Well, maybe I will one of these days, Laura.
Prisoners, fall in line. March!
Phew. Another day. Another day. Well, here's where we go home from the office, Dugan, eh?
Yeah? So what, geezer?
You know, one thing I like about working in this office, they never keep you overtime. No, sir. When the old whistle blows, we're through work. And the boss gives us our evenings to ourselves.
Pipe down, geezer. They'll drag you up before the big noise.
Keep still back there, you two. Halt! Prisoners, into your cells.
Oh, home sweet home. Neat but not gaudy, eh, killer?
Quit clowning, geezer. I got something big on my mind.
What?
How's for crushing this iron house?
How? By doing a dead cold sneak?
Sure, unless you want a backdoor parole.
Hey, I don't want to be dead when I get out of here.
I'm supposed to be doing it all. But I warned the warden I wouldn't be here any longer than I could help.
You got quite a name for going over the hill, ain't you?
There ain't an iron house built that can keep Killer Dugan from getting out when he wants.
Well, I'm with you, killer. But how are we going to do it? We ain't got no rods.
Did you see the piece of iron work I was turning out this afternoon?
Yeah.
The screw thought I'd bent it out of shape. Told me to straighten it out tomorrow. Well, we'll straighten it out all right after we fitted it to the pole I got hid back on my machine.
I don't get you, killer. How will we straighten it out?
Listen. Tear up all your old clothes into strips.
What for?
We'll wind them around the pole so we can get a grip on it quick, see?
Yeah.
When we get our chance, we'll hook the bent iron over the yard wall, climb up, swing the pole over, and slide down. Get it?
I blow wise. Yeah, but what about the yard hacks?
What do you take me for, a feeblo? We don't hoist the pole until the time is right. And I figure on next Wednesday being our best bet. It'll be the big day for the boys.
Oh, you mean they'll be busy watching the visitors?
Sure.
But if they ain't, we'll take a walk up back.
Yeah? Just leave everything for me.
It's all Jimmy's idea, so I think he ought to tell you about it himself. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Thanks, Bill. Well, fellas, I know this is an athletic club, but I thought we might turn it into a secret society at the same time.
Hey,
you know, lots of federal agents carry on some business as a blind for their real work, you know.
Gee, that's right.
Now, I figure that we can still play basketball and at the same time learn how to become G-Man. We're luckier than lots of fellas because we got the state penitentiary right here in town. And we can learn lots more about criminals than if we live somewhere else. Now, if you fellas are all in favor of turning our club into a secret society and becoming junior G-men, I got a surprise for you.
Okay, Jimmy, we'll put it to a vote. Now, all in favor, yell aye.
Aye!
It's unanimous.
What's the surprise, Jimmy?
I'll show you.
I wonder what it is.
Come on in, Warden. The fellas thought it was a swell idea.
It sounded like they did, Jimmy.
Fellas, Warden Grant has come down to tell us what he thinks of our idea. Warden, go ahead and tell him.
Boys, I think you're doing a fine thing. If all the boys all over the country made it their business to learn how to stamp out crime and the criminals, it wouldn't be long before our jails wouldn't be as full as they are now. You want to be G-Men.
Well, that's right. You sure do. Will you help us, Warden?
You bet I will. I just dropped down tonight to tell you that you can count on me anytime in any way. And now, if there are any questions you'd like to ask...
Well, Warden, are the gangsters as tough as the newspapers say they are?
Not all of them. It just depends on the circumstance they find themselves in. We have at the prison at the present time one of the toughest thugs in the country. Killer Dugan, he's called. He's under sentence of life imprisonment. One night last winter, Dugan and a pal entered a drugstore with the idea...
Good evening to you, gents. What can I be obliging you with?
With reaching for the ceiling, buddy.
Huh?
This is a stick-up. Get up your hands.
You bet I will. Here they go with my gun at them.
You shot my pal, why you... There. I guess that pays you back, Irish. I killed the old buck, Steve. Come on, get up. We got to scram.
Steve, what's... Dead. So long, Steve. Sorry, I got to leave you this way.
It was exciting. Oh, how did they catch that guy, Warden?
Well, as Dugan walked out of that door, he walked into the arms of the druggist's best friend, the chief of police.
Oh, boy, they got him, eh?
He went to jail, of course, but his mania for opening doors went with him, and he managed to walk out of every prison they put him in. But now we've got him up there on the hill, and that's where he's going to stay.
Boy, it's a good place for him,
too. Well, now, boys, I'm afraid I'll have to be getting back to work. Tomorrow's visiting day, and I've got arrangements to make for doubling the guard.
Oh, thanks a lot for coming down, Warden. You've been a great help to us. Maybe we can be of help to you sometime.
You may at that. Who can tell?
know, I know. We can't make a break yet. Look at the hex over by the wall.
Crimus, I hope they don't freeze there. My hands are sweating now. The suspense is killing me.
They'll be busy shooing out the visitors in a minute, Geezer. Then we can take the runoff powder. Let's work our way over where we hit that pole and hook.
Okie doke, killer. You was right, killer. The herders are starting to break up and leave the wall unguarded.
They better have. I aim to get over, and I'd just as soon make the trip without having to take the electric cure.
Yeah, me too.
Watch our chance, Geezer. It's going to be a quick trick.
You're telling me. I won't be no longer flying the coop than you.
I wish we could have had time to slip out of the numbers. But we'll have to wait till later to change our clothes. Here's our big moment. Come on, Geezer. Hoist that pole.
All right, all right.
Up you go, Geezer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here I come.
All right. Give me a hand.
Here.
That a boy, killer. You sure can shinny up a pole.
Throw it over the wall.
Yeah.
And get going. We ain't got no time to lose.
Whistle?
Yeah, what of it? It's just a basketball whistle.
Yeah, but it's a police whistle, too. All us junior G-men are going to have one. Listen.
Boy, it sure sounds like one.
Hey, look.
What?
Aren't those convicts over there?
Convicts?
Where?
Over there trying to start that car.
Well, so it is.
Listen.
Hey, there's the prison alarm. They must have escaped from the pen.
Hey, what do we do?
What do we do? Capture them, of course. That's what G-men are supposed to do.
I got an idea.
What?
There they go, down the street.
Holy gee, they split up.
Come on, gang. Some of you fellas take that one. I'm sticking to this bozo.
Right, come on, I can't
do it. I'm with you, Jimmy. But, Deke Bill, look. He's heading toward my house.
Hey, look. He's ducked under your side porch.
Yeah. We got him now. There isn't any way out except the way he went in. Come on, Bill. We got this guy cornered.
Come here, we got.
Hurry up. Come on, boy.
Watch out, now spread out.
Hey, you. You under the house there. It's no use. We got you. Come on out.
Yeah, come out or we'll drag you out.
Fellas, be good sport. Let me go.
Like fun, we will. But you might as well come out. We got your corner.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, come on, fellas. Give me a break.
You try to run for it, and we will. We'll break your neck.
You said it, Jimmy.
Yeah, you bet.
G-men never lose their man.
Yeah, but, gee, now the problem is, how are we going to get this bozo back to the penitentiary?
Gosh, that's right. Hey, here comes a police car.
Oh, good.
We won't have to worry anymore. Jimmy, signal the cops to come here.
I hope my pal has had better luck than I've had.
Oh, don't worry. The rest of our gang will get him, too.
Hey, what's going on here, boys?
Hello, Laura. We just captured an escaped prisoner from the penitentiary.
Yeah, we got him under the porch there.
Yeah,
boy, he doesn't stand a chance with us.
Wait, it's the warden. Here he is, warden.
Well, where have you got him, boys?
Wait, under the porch, see?
Yeah, let's take a look at him. Well, if it isn't Mr. Dugan.
All right, crap-wise.
Come out of there, Dugan. Do you boys know you've captured the most dangerous killer in the state?
What?
Oh, it was all Jimmy's idea, Warden. He blew that basketball whistle to make the convicts think it was a police whistle.
Yeah. Yeah, you fooled us all right. That's what made me and Geezer split.
Nice work, boys. You'll get a reward for this. All right. Come along, Dugan.
The kids ain't as soft as you sissies with shotguns, Warden.
Oh, Jimmy. I'm terribly proud of you. Why, you're wonderful, Jimmy.
Do you really think so, Laura?
You bet I do.
Enough to go to the club dance with me instead of Jerry?
I'll say.
Oh, gee.
Why, you're 10 times more famous than he is, Jimmy. And besides, you're going to get a reward.
Oh, shucks, Laura. If you'll go to that dance with me, that's all the reward I want.
The radio program to which you have just listened was taken from a fascinating story of youthful courage and resourcefulness, which will be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. This is only one of the many entertaining stories which will be found in this magazine, which has the world's largest circulation. The American Weekly is distributed with every Hearst Sunday newspaper. And now we turn you over to your own announcer. Thank you.
Front Page Drama on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated episode from the 26th of August, 1936. And that will do it for this hour of underheard and unique shows from the past. I hope you can be with us next time for more collection curios from radio's golden era on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark LeBonier. Thanks for listening.